Come on, put your hands together. Give God some praise in the house. I don't know about you, but I serve a mighty God. Anybody know he's mighty? Let me see the hands of those who know God is a mighty God. In fact, look at your neighbor and say, he's a mighty good God. Amen. Well, we praise God for the privilege of being right here one more time in Houston, Texas at the Good Hope Missionary Baptist Church. And I want to thank my friend. In fact, I want to say that he's more than a friend. He's a brother. And I appreciate your pastor. Would you give him some love one more time? Pastor D.Z. Cofield. God bless you, sir. Thank you for just being a brother for many, many years. And certainly I count it all joy to have you part of not only my life, but really my ministry. And we're grateful for our continual connection. I want to thank God also for my queen, the love of my life, everything and more, Lady Latrice Adams. Would you stand, sweetie, so they all can see you today? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I have this morning at this early service, at the 8 o'clock service, my chairman, a deacon, Deacon John Smith on my left, and his nephew. Thank you for coming, traveling from San Francisco, California. Now, there's a host of us will be coming to the next service. For them, it is still early. They are still on Pacific time, even though they're in Houston, Texas. And so, amen. They will be here at the next service. We do want to honor also Lady Cofield. God bless you and all of you. Now, I know I have about 25 minutes. I'm going to do my best to say what I need to say on this wonderful day to celebrate discipleship and all that you have done. I am just astonished at the work that your pastor has given to not only your church, but to our country. And I'm always cheering him on. He may not know it all the time because I'm not around him as often, but I lift him up in prayer and shout out his name for the work he has done. I want to call your attention for a few minutes. If you have your Bible or Bible application, a familiar passage of scripture, St. Luke chapter 5. St. Luke chapter 5, 11 verses. I'm going to read it as quickly as possible. Amen. I'm reading from the King James translation. You may have another translation at your disposal, but we want to come today reading from the King James translation. If you have Luke chapter 5, say amen. 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 You'll find these words for your hearing. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught or catch. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net brake. They beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. I want to talk from these simple words today, called to go deep. Called to go deep. Why don't you repeat that with me? Called to go deep. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you once again for just giving your servant, Leroy Jr., the privilege and the opportunity to stand before your people here at Good Hope Missionary Baptist Church in Houston, Texas. Thank you for being so gracious to us, guiding us, Father, through the air and on the ground to get here. We are thankful for, once again, what you've done in all of our lives and what you're going to do. We ask, God, that you would endow us with your spirit, that your word speak to us, speak life, speak hope, speak love, Father, through your word. We thank you once again for just blessing. And then, God, I thank you for saving me and changing me and calling me to be who I am. Now, God, use your servant today in Jesus' name. Amen. If you love the Lord like I do, come on, put those hands together one more time. Let's thank the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to open up by telling you that there are moments, and some of you can agree with this, in life when Jesus challenges us to go beyond where we are, to step out of what's familiar into unfamiliar or uncharted territories. And that's the true essence of faith. That's the true essence of trust. In fact, that's the true essence of this story, how the Lord challenges us to come out of our comfort zone and to do something that is uncomfortable or unfamiliar. It is in this text this morning that we discover in the first three verses that there was a crowd of people gathered really close to Jesus. They're not there for miracles, but they're there to hear the message of the word of God. And no doubt there is a uniqueness about God's word, and I know there's some witnesses here, where it creates an appetite for those who want to hear and receive it, along with having the word which provides the power to transform lives. Many of us who are here know that we are who we are because of the word of God. We're here because the word of God worked wonders in our lives. And many of us can shout even at this service at 9:01 that we're not what we used to be, simply because the Lord had a word for our lives that transformed us, not from the outside in, but from the inside out. And that's why we're here today as disciples and not just members of the church. Jesus was ministering the word. In fact, he was not in a church building. He was not in a facility as we have it today, praise God, for the Lord's house. But here he was by the lake of a lake called Gennesaret. And he decides to borrow a boat that belonged to a man named Peter. And Jesus uses this boat. And he uses it in such a way that he creates sort of a makeshift pulpit where he speaks to a multitude who were thronging him and pressing upon him. And when I thought about it, Good Hope, I thought about how the Lord often uses our resources that belong to us or that he has given to us for kingdom work. And I just believe that we should always make what we have available for him. Have I got a witness? Sometimes it is our treasure. Sometimes it is our talent, our skill set. Sometimes it's our time, our home. Whatever it is, we ought to open ourselves up and say, Lord, use it and use me. And so Jesus is ministering. He is ministering. And even though he's a miracle worker, and no doubt he did signs and wonders in the presence of thousands and literally changed their life by touching them or speaking a word of healing. But here in this text, this crowd does not come for miracle. They come to hear a word from the Lord. And when he's done teaching, Jesus gives a command to move out into deeper water. Verse 4 and 5. He tells Peter, once he's done with his presentation of the gospel, to launch out into the deep. It's a command to go from shallowness, where you no longer can measure or perceive the level of what you're in. To go out in the deep is to go once again further from where you are, so that you're no longer in charge or in control. You're totally depending on the one who's in charge of your life. Jesus tells him, go out into the deep, launch out. And the deep represents vulnerability. It represents dependency on what or who you trust. Well, for us who are here today, and I'm sure it's about 10 of you, and I make 11, I trust in the Lord. I wish I had some help in here. Look at your neighbor and say, I trust in the Lord. I trust in him for who he is. I trust in him for what he has done. I trust in him for what he is doing, and he's never failed me yet. I feel like preaching already, because about 5 of you here, you are a testimony that when you trusted in the Lord, he did wonders in your life. Whereas you are here today, watch this, not telling your testimony, you are a testimony. Come on, give your neighbor a high five and say, I'm a testimony. I want you to touch a testimony. I want you to know that sitting next to you is someone that the Lord has brought from a mighty long way. And so the deep represents vulnerability. It's when you depend upon him, you trust in him, you depend on him, you have faith in him. And so Peter does what the Lord tells him to do. But just like Peter, as it relates to the gospel, he always has something to say. And so many of us, oftentimes, when the Lord tells us to do something as it pertains to our lives, we always want to make our statement clear before the Lord. Peter tells the Lord, he says, we've been working all night long. We've been toiling through the darkness, and there is, again, no productivity for our work. We've given it all that we have. But Lord, since you said it, nevertheless, we will do it at thy word. Listen, if you will, Peter had every reason not to obey the Lord. He was finished for that day. He was frustrated. He was fatigued. I'm sure he had a sense of failure. Again, no results whatsoever. But he trusted Jesus' word over his own understanding. And that's what faith is really all about. Faith and trust begins where logic and reasoning ends. And as a result, Jesus supplies abundant provision that blows Peter's mind. Some of you are here today. You can bear witness that there are some things that the Lord has done in your life that has blown your mind. Here you are. People never thought you would make it, but you're still here. Here you are. Folks counted you out. Never thought that you would come this far, but you're still here. Here you are. People booed you, never thought that you would come out of that situation. And here you are right now at Good Hope telling everybody by the life you live that the Lord has been good to you. I wish I had somebody who could shout right now, the Lord has been good to me. Do I have any shouters who don't mind shouting, the Lord has been good to me? Y'all still too quiet. I got 15 minutes left. Somebody better shout, the Lord has been good to me. Come on, say it like you mean it and mean what you say. The Lord has been good to me, where he has blown my mind. Jesus supplies abundant provisions. Am I doing all right? Here it is. There was a miraculous catch as a result of one act of obedience. One act of obedience release overwhelming results. You just never know what the Lord can do in your life if you just obey his word. Won't he do it? Won't he provide you overwhelming results when you obey him, when you trust in him, when you put your faith in him, when you lean on him, when you rock with him? I know I'm at the right church. He will give you overwhelming results. So much so that you can't keep it to yourself. It is in this text, ladies and gentlemen, where the blessings were so much that Peter's boat could not contain all the fishes. Are y'all here? So much so that the blessing as a result of Peter's obedience had to be shared with his partners. The Lord blessed Peter with an overflow. Oh, y'all not getting this. An overflow. Let the church say overflow. Overflow. The Lord blessed him so much, my brothers and sisters, that he could not contain everything that he caught in his net in his ship. So he called on help. Help me gather what the Lord has blessed me with. And that's what the Lord does when he blesses you. He does not want you to have it all to yourself. He wants you to share what he has given you. He wants you to share what he has blessed you. And whenever he gives you something for your life, it's not just for you only. He always gives you more than enough. Oh, I hear Paul tells us, now unto him who is able, oh, y'all miss that, to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask. Am I looking at somebody who can shout, he did it for me? Abundantly above all that we ask or think. Somebody ought to shout, overflow. Here it is. When you and I give God our whatever, even when it's small or appears to be nothing, he can do the impossible. He can turn it around into more than enough. Well, I need to go a little bit further, because when Peter saw the miracle that Jesus had done in his life, Peter realized his unworthiness in light of Jesus' holiness. He said, I am a sinful man. He bows before the Lord at his knees and was transparent about who he was. And that's what Jesus would do. True encounters with Jesus always reveals who we really are and what we need from him. Peter says, I'm a sinful man. And he knew that through this miracle, the Lord made him vulnerable enough for him to confess who he really was in order to experience what he really needed. He needed grace and he needed mercy. Grace, some of you know, is when God favors you even though you don't qualify for it. He still bless you better than you deserve. I wish I had somebody shout with me. And then mercy. I know Pastor told you this. Mercy is when the Lord don't give you what you deserve. When you are guilty and yet he still does not allow you to be condemned as a result of your sinfulness. He sees something in you and he decides to give you another chance. I wish I had somebody who can shout with me that not only has he given me another chance, but he has given me a second chance. Are y'all quiet? A third chance. A fourth chance. A fifth chance. Are y'all here today? Is there anybody in here who can shout that the Lord has given you so many chances and that's the only reason why you can tell somebody your praise is for real? Let me hurry to a close. It is from this encounter with Jesus that Jesus gives him this call and all those who were with him to discipleship. Yes, sir. He says, from now on, you will no longer catch fish, but you will catch men. Yeah. From that word alone, your Bible tells us in verse 11 that when they got to the shore, they left everything and followed Jesus. You see, God's provision in this text, the Lord's provision in this text, was not the end goal. It was his presence and his purpose to provide and reveal to them what he wanted them to do next. See, Jesus just didn't want to bless their boat. He wanted to bless their lives. And when you leave your net and everything that used to be familiar with you, and you decide to follow Jesus, can I tell you, good hope serving the Lord will pay off after a while. Have I got a witness in here? You see, Jesus is calling us to not be members of the church. And he's not calling us just to sit in church and sit in a certain chair. Oh, no. But he's calling us to do his will, and that is to reach men so men and women can be saved. Have I got a witness in here? And I'm here to tell you, as a living witness, I'm so glad that somebody came into my space and came into my face and told me about Jesus of Nazareth. But can I tell you, he's more than that. He's the Son of the living God. He's, my way out of no way. Have I got one witness? He's my bridge over troubled water. And he's my doctor in a sick room. And he's my lawyer in a courtroom. But can I tell you, he's more than that. Look at your neighbor and say, he's more than that. He's my savior. He's my high priest. He's my Lord. And he's my king. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. Have I got a witness in here? Let me tell you what he did for me 2,000 years ago on a hill called Calvary. He died for my sins and your sins. Oh, bless his name. He died to pay my debt. And I've got something to shout about. Oh, bless his name. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. But 3 days later, I said 3 days later, let me shout for myself. 3 days later, he got up with all power in his hands. And I heard him say, if I be lifted up from the earth, I draw all men unto me. Is there anybody here know that Jesus made a difference in your life? You ought to shout right now. Is there anybody here who know he made a way out of no way? You ought to lift up your hands and give him glory. Is there anybody here know that if it had not been for the Lord on your side, you wouldn't be here right now? Tell your neighbor, I'm going deep because the Lord went deep for me. I'm going deep to declare if he can do it for me, he can do it for anybody. I'm going deep to tell somebody he's a way maker. He's a way out of no way. Say it. Say it. Come on, grab your neighbor by the hand and say, neighbor, it's time to go deep. It's time to be a follower of Christ. It's time to be a disciple of Christ. It's time to serve the Lord. And when it's all said and done, I want to hear him say, servant, well done. Well done. Well done. I want to go deep. What shall I render unto the Lord for all of his goodness towards me? I will give him my all. But even more than that, I will give him myself. Lord, I'm available. Whatever it takes, here am I. Send me.